Passing through the holy place, enter in before His presence, glory on His face. Precious servants of the temple, cease your busyness and toil. Now fulfill your deepest, best, Father, worship. Open up your heart exclusively to Him. Precious servants of the temple, cease your busyness and toil. Now fulfill your deepest ministry. Come and satisfy your Lord. Stand in awe. Open up your heart exclusively. Your busyness and toil. Now fulfill your deepest ministry. Come and satisfy your Lord. Look at Jesus. Oh, soul, bow down. He will joy your
God, Ed, as he shared Jesus, every is only one look present with us this day. The Holy Spirit helps not only understand.
Those of you who are that half that have the sleep disorder, you can just fade off now. One brother came up to me last night with the best line of the night, I thought. He said he'd taken a poll out here. He found out that half pulled when I spoke your message. The other half had found rest. I think accurate. So if you're especially sleepy this afternoon, I know we're in the wrong time zone and things have changed here dramatically just overnight, so feel free to drop off. Those of you who want to try to hang in there, may the Lord quicken you. Give us strength. I'd like for us to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Another seated scripture. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden in God. In Christ, your life this time we'll Begin reading in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 4, before verse 8. Give us not afterward have spoken and spoken dead. For there are four of the people of God. God. Himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let for be enter the entrance. All same to temple, same to powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents, creature. Naked, all the up to the up, we must account, must. We have these paths, path and Jesus, Son of God. Let us hold, confess. Not sympathize, but let us. Let forth bold to the throne, we may in great days. I'm loving you. A remit for rest, for people. Bible, this underlying thing we spoke about, and out of lot of the or find, I've created an animated area, but now I can rest. It's those things are already ours. It's really quite ironic when you look at what we already had and lost, but here we are. But you know, the Lord, He loves us too much. And so down he waited, he could, but I'm good. I just want you to step by faith and take the land I've chosen you to enter into my rest. The people say we'd rather keep worship. We don't have the faith. What a tragedy! Those people who saw the mighty hand of God just couldn't go into the promised land and land and rest. Who are you? Just Mr. Insignificant? And suddenly you get this patch of territory that's just absolutely wonderful and beautiful. It's just God's mercy. God's mercy. They got into the land, but, oh boy, independence raised its ugly head again. Next thing you know, some tribes weren't satisfied with their territory because the grass was greener in Issachar. So they began to fight and to fight and Speak to me of the chosen rest, such as David, who seemed to discover something, find in some small way at least that Adam had supply and David just before the Lord, he says that one thing have I desired of the Lord. Choir is very good. Oh, found something. And so there's David writing a song while everybody in Israel is restless. As a matter of fact, the children of Israel broke the Sabbath. Kept Sabbath. They were wheeling and dealing. And you know, the sabbatical year, how long do you think that really went on? Every 7 years, the Jews just left it fallow. How long do you think that went on? Whatever the case is, even that the chosen arrest, at least caused them who saw that they were in the rest. And we get to sit with Christ in the heavenly places. Look around the universe. He begins to reveal these big plans he calls the manifold wisdom of God. The eternal purpose in Jesus Christ. I mean, big like that. Words are life. Which is in Christ. There's our land of promise for now. What a place of rest that is, to just remain in Christ. Such a wonderful place of blessing. And so the Lord, when He came with the gospel, still reaches out to the lost and to the weary and says, I give you rest. You know, some of us Christians have been resting so long. We get the most taken and full this. We know that Israel fell short of their Sabbath. They came in and landed, but they couldn't. How could it be that a Christian could be restless?
Surely a Christian who is not restless, who is restless is not sitting constantly heavenly. But some get out of that position because, well, for several reasons. One, they're busy working. But the man who's entered his rest is a man that has ceased from his own works. Christian, trying. You know, you see him huffing and puffing, and they really want to serve God. They're trying to help God. I read a little bit out of Jesus healing the leper and leper and leper. He was serving God by doing this. He just went everywhere and blabbed about Jesus. The result, it says, at the end of that story, Jesus could no longer go to the cities. He hindered Jesus' ministry tremendously. He thought he could go to the wilderness because of his work. You see, and that's, isn't it just like you and me, when we're just in that froth of free, and he's enlarging you and enlarging you, giving you blessings upon blessings, and everybody here would have to testify, get enlarged, love Jesus, your vision's being enlarged, your trust in Him is being, there's so much going on by grace, you're under the heavens and looking at His vastness, and He's beginning to give you gifts and ministry, and it's such a vast, wonderful time, same time, that is saying you must decrease so He can increase, and it's going on at the same time. So you hear, like out there in the lobby out here, ding ding ding, elevator going up, you're going up, you're never, but you've never, and also that's what thing is something at the time thing, there's something, there's a dripping thing, a thing in our life, variable,
Up and up. In my gracious balloon. But you still hear ding ding, elevator going down. And we go through these various things. Now, the brothers now can take a little nap because I've shared something with them about 12 years ago, which I know all of them remember, of course. Romans, somehow, a little crystal something for you. In Romans chapter 5, something was crystallized for me that just help for a moment before we share. Why is it the elevator's going up, the elevator's going down? What is going on here? I always wondered. And then the Lord just gave me a little picture in these verses, first few verses of Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith, grace in which we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory, knowing that perseverance, character, and character hope, and hope does not because of not by hearts, by who is by him, to his by him, to his by my, who's 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 grace, the Lord all over us, and by faith we enter in freely to this grace. Peace with God, justification, freedom, forgiveness, Lord, how do we say that? You know, there's nothing more wonderful than when a person not only gets the idea of they're saved now from their sins, but they really understand this and glorious and glorious and glorious and glorious and glorious. Put hunger in hunger and hunger and heart. We start singing all the glory songs. Now the men up at their retreats, I don't know women, I don't know if you're giving them a bad time at home or what, but they're all but the glory. But now the interesting thing to me was this, is when the Lord showed me there's yet a third room. It's the way from the grace to the grace to the next hall. It's the hall. From the glory to the way. Why should I go narrow, really can't help it. Hop down on the chute. The door room. Doing a room. Get a little. When it go. Or else they're going to be in dire trouble real soon. So this exhortation is coming to them. And they're trying to understand what trouble they're going through. Because they're thinking that God's disciplining them because he doesn't love them. Between the grace room and the hallway of tribulation. Grace went to whom you went, by faith. You ever notice how often that phrase is used in Hebrews? Hold fast to the confidence you have, firm until the end. Enter grace through faith. Actually, the hallway is a hallway of tribulation, which you get through by grace. And there God's doing a hidden work that nobody can see and you don't even understand. But it's just as true as you being a trophy of God's grace. It's so good that all of us have a testimony how we got saved. I was 20, I got saved, and God did a glorious thing in my life. So wonderful. He puts me up in the trophy room every once in a while, lets me share my testimony. But meanwhile, there hidden, I'm prostrate on my face before the throne of grace, asking for help, going through the hallway. You see, it's a whole other aspect of our life. You know what the issue is for these Hebrews here, these Hebrew Christians, and for us, is this. Even while we're going through the hallway of tribulation, the Lord wants us to find rest. You know when you get to glory, you're going to rest. You're going to sleep 1,000 years before you even wake up and go find Jesus. Now, according to some people, I'm not going to sleep. But you can if you want. But, whatever, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But in glory, you know, there's that perfect eternal rest. Oh, we'll just sit back and peel grapes and sing in the hallelujah choir. It's just going to be wonderful in glory. And, of course, grace all started out but for free. But can you find rest in the hallway of tribulation? That's what the writer is asking the Hebrew Christians to do. Found late, play right. Found a Sabbath. They are in Christ. They haven't discovered the deeper rest, even in the hallway of tribulation. And this whole book of Hebrews, when it's talking regarding this exhortation to rest, is saying this. There is only one place of perfect rest for the Christian upon this earth. You know where it is? Within the veil. Book of Hebrews isn't about priests, isn't about sacrifices, and isn't about the heavenly vehicle. It's where about where to live, where to live, where. Oh, you within the veil. I just sang that little song about, you know, going into the Holy of Holies and standing before the Lord and fulfilling our ministry. We can talk about it, but you know what? Most Christians don't live there. Living within the veil. Brothers, the only place we can find perfect connection with our Creator and our Redeemer while we're going through the hallway of tribulation. And it's the issue of faith, and that is the issue of life that is being mentioned right here. Dwelling within the veil. Now, you see, here's what happens in the progress of most Christians' lives. When we get saved by grace. And by that grace, we live in the world and we work on the job and we have our home and our cute little kids and our wonderful spouse and everything has it. All you got to do is be a Christian. And by grace, if you live in this world for very long, sooner or later, you get persecuted and it gets tougher and tougher because the world wants your soul and you're resistant. And when it gets tough and they start rejecting you, you find yourself in a strange position in no man's land. If you have been rejected by the world and you realize it's not your home, but you're not dwelling within the veil, you're nowhere. Feeling pressure from both sides. You feel the discipline. You feel the cross working on your flesh. You feel the Word of God getting in there and cutting soul and spirit and bones and marrow and exposing the intentions of your heart. And
But if you don't know your dwelling place, it can do a number on you. Many Christians find themselves in that kind of wilderness and they don't feel like they can rest at all. As a matter of fact, the writer to Hebrews talks about them being shrinking back. Maybe you should look at that verse in Hebrews chapter 10. Quoting a scripture in verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back or shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not those who draw back, but those who believe to the saving of the soul." It's possible, it seems in chapter 12, verse 15, that some can fall short of grace. You're afraid to go within the veil, but you know your life isn't in the world. Now the Hebrews are telling you to be Jewish, but you know that's not the right way. But you're afraid of going within the veil. You haven't deserved it. You haven't worked your way in yet, you see. What is the remedy for this situation? In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, we see another one of those verses that turns the whole letter into another direction. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." What they need to see to get through this thing into the veil and into the holiest place is a man of salvation. By his death on the cross, they see that Jesus died for them. It's a finished work, and so they entered into the promised land. By grace, we've been saved through faith. We see Jesus as our apostle. We see him as our Savior. But now when the times are tough and we're in that hallway of tribulation, what the writer is trying to say is, just like when the children of Israel are on the edge of the promised land, they had faith, and they saw Joshua leading them, and they went through. So the Christian, how did we finally get saved? I have to tell you for myself, I heard the promises for 9 months before I got saved. 9 months I heard the promises of salvation working in my heart before I could mix it with faith and enter in. And how did I enter in? The night I got saved is when I got down on my knees feeling some kind of inward pressure. And when I said, "Dear Jesus," I broke down and started crying. Out I was. I'd never been on my knees. As soon as I began to hear the words that the choir always sang in the church where I'd heard the promises for 9 months. "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn my eyes upon Jesus." That's how I got into the promised land. The doctrines couldn't get me through. The promises, my sins would be forgiven, all this stuff, that didn't get me through. But I saw Jesus. I turned my eyes on Jesus. That's what got me through. Now, brothers and sisters, when we come to this place and we're in the hallway of tribulation, we say, "I'm not going to make it. There's no way I can get into that. Verses 19 and 20 that has to do with the hope that we have in Him. With Jesus, the priest, hope we have the hope we serve the soul, which soul, which soul, which soul, which soul, which soul, the prince, front, headed, high, high, order, of course, in 10, 10, 10, 10.
grabbing, grabbing the highest part of the blood and living with living with it through the veil is veils, 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 having our hearts spring, hearts spring, vulture, 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 vulture,
see the real things are going on. The earthly temple was just a shadow of that which is really going on. And in the heavenly tabernacle, there is a veil. The veil is Jesus' humanity. Jesus, in his humanity, because he was perfect man, had fellowship with God in the Holy of Holies. And because he was also a perfect man, he had fellowship with sinners and helped them in every way. But there still was no way that man could enter in. When Jesus died on the cross, the most amazing thing happened in Jewish history. The veil tore from the top to the bottom in Jerusalem. God can tear the veil from the top. Up, 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 the top, the top. He put Jesus open. Jesus' humanity was poured out. His blood was poured out on our behalf. And you know what? You know, the story goes like this. He allowed God to rip him apart so that the veil could fail, so that not as high priest, but just as our brother. As a man said, I want to be my walls. It's the only place where we have connection with the throne of God. Talk about his throne of grace, but with in the connected time with God's will, with God's wisdom, with God's power, with God, within the veil. Now we live in this house of God. It's true there's an outer court. And what does the outer court represent? The altar, the brazen altar in the outer court, represents our ministry of evangelism. We do witness to people, but we don't live in the outer court. You are a priest unto God as I am, and we have a job out in the outer court to witness to people about the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ around that cross, which is the brazen altar. But we don't live out in the outer court, do we? Just working away, preaching the gospel. We live in the Holy of Holies. We also serve in the holy place. That means every time we gather together with the saints. Now we come in there, and maybe your job has something to do with the lampstand. You know, you're a teacher, so you're to shed a little revelation and light. Or maybe you're more like a shepherd, and you're ordering the bread and the presents. Or maybe you're a worship leader of some kind, and you're just throwing incense on the fire there. And just you got us all involved when we gather together. You know, some people are so busy as a worship leader, and so busy as a shepherd, and so busy as a teacher. You don't live there. In the Holy of Holies, within the veil. These days, the power that we have to minister in the Holy, and communion with Him. Christians are trying to tap into all kinds of power, but the power is the connectedness, not some juice, special Christian juice. It's the connectedness to complete supply that's there within the veil. Power to do what we're called on to do, but then the power to rest, because we don't live working. We live in the rest. When we live within the veil, from next blow. But you know,
If we take our privilege and dwell within the veil, then we discover a most amazing fact. When we were in the that when you've broken through by faith and sat in the Holy of Holies and communed with Him, you discover this. Faith, we enter within the veil. It isn't something old Christians can do. You know, if I say this, if I said this to a usual crowd of Christians and said, now listen, you need to live your life within the veil, they say, oh yeah, he's talking about old people. He's talking about those, the 3% of mystics who are willing to have their bodies burned, are willing to serve at least 7 years in Africa. They have a chance, but not me. And yet here is the claim. It's as if Jesus is prophesying through ears. I'm trying to keep you in. Now it's true, our flesh aggravation and more comfortable in Jesus. That's right. You can take about 6 minutes. Say, okay, that's enough. I heard Ed and Dane a couple of times. Take here. Because I want to stay right here. And think of this rest through the hallway of tribulation by living within the veil. Realize. When you gather together for prayer and come within the veil and you worship the Lord a little bit, and then He puts a burden on your heart and you pray that burden back to the Lord, you go home refreshed. Now, how many of you know that's true? You go to the prayer meeting and I said, this is the last draw. Run. Samuel living here from the time he was 3 years old to 15 years old or whatever, and he never got out of the place. 30 feet wide, 30 feet long. Restriction. That's the way of the Holy Priest. The way he did. Said all along. Now there's David, you know, vastness of the whole thing, you know, destiny. I'm going to be a king, David, it's the glory of kings. Faithfully, through. And that little insignificant boy, we don't know how old he was when this happened, but let's say he was 15, I don't know. When he came out and spoke to him, this Mr. Insignificant became of the Lord for the whole country, He just became a judger and a all this time, in the end, it was Samuel who was the kingmaker. Set David up to be the king by anointing him with oil. It takes somebody who fights, And do whatever has to be done because he's committed to making sure Man, they're not to live there, but the Lord, wait, to part, within the veil. Many Christians are insignificant, and the Lord's glad you are. Significant. It's there. Seen a little bit of it again. Forward, we're going. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God that His grace is mine. Thank God one day I'm going to the glory room. Which you always try to special build His sister lives, our lives. In Him, within the veil. In all. It's our portion in this life. But the Lord says, come in within the veil where the not as our high priest. Isn't that the other help them understand and their rich? Let him. Father, we thank you so much. As our Savior, us rescues from consciences and sins and guilt and all of that sort of thing. But help us to find Jesus as our high priest when we're going through difficult times. Help us to see bring us salvation of the uttermost by His intercessory work. Lord, we talk and sometimes sing in a longing kind of way. We think of that little chorus that says, "Within the veil I long to come." But we know the truth is, because of what our high priest has done, we should sing, "Within the veil, by faith, into the holy place, to look upon His face. I see such splendor there. None other can compare. I worship you, dear Lord, the ankle, 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 the ankle